Would you pray with me? Lord, we do give you thanks for this day, and we thank you, especially for those ancient words that guide us and tell us how to live, and Lord, that especially bring that good news to us that your Son died on the cross to forgive us. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we open your word, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, that as we hear your word, that it would have an impact on our lives, and Lord, especially as we're looking at these practices on how we can live our lives in this world for you, that you show us our special talents that you give us so that we can use them for your glory. Lord, I ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have in our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. And I thought, you know, spiritual gifts, mothers have been gifted with a lot of talents to raise children, to nurture them and take care of them. And some of you may have received a gift this morning already. Maybe some of you will be getting one later on. And maybe, I thought too, sometimes the gifts that we give are not even a tangible something that you can hold on to. It might be some time spent or you do something for your mother. So as I thought about this, you know, even the gifts that we give, the gifts that we receive, they're not all the same. And this crazy thought came to my mind, and I thought, wouldn't it be the weirdest thing ever if you were sitting around the Christmas tree with your family, and everyone opened up their gift or gifts, and every single gift was exactly the same? How boring would that be? How disappointing would that be? I mean, so we give different gifts, we receive different gifts. And I think as we look at our spiritual gifts, it's only natural that even these spiritual gifts that God gives are different. They're going to be different. And I wanted to stress once again that as we've been going through this series, you know, we've been looking at some practical ways now that we can serve our Lord, serve the people around us, serve our church by living our Christian life in this world. But these particular things, and even these particular spiritual gifts that God gives, he's not giving them to us because we're better than someone else. Or he's not saying, oh, you're much better than this person, so I'm going to give you two or three. I mean, he gives us the gifts because he loves us, because he sent his Son into the world. He's already accomplished the forgiveness and life and love that he has for us. He's accomplished all that. Now he's giving us those gifts so we can respond to his love. I think the greatest passage that most everyone knows is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He's done it. We have all that. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to show someone up to get more of God's love. He's already loved us as much as he can by sending his Son. And now we're going to respond by putting these things into practice that we've been talking about so that we can live our lives for him and for his purposes. As we get to the belief for today, or the practice, if you can put that on the screen. The practice is spiritual gifts, and if you would say that with me, I know my spiritual gifts and use them to fulfill God's purposes. So the first thing we have to recognize, we talked about this a little bit in Bible class, what are our spiritual gifts? And that may be something that someone has encouraged you or told you about. And so we want to use those for God's purposes. If we look at the key verse for today, if you would repeat or say this with me as well, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Romans 12, 4 to 6. And so it's pretty clear here, Paul talking to the Christians at Rome, that there are these different spiritual gifts, and not everyone has the same gift. I want to read the next portion of this scripture. It's actually the second part of verse 6 and then 7 and 8. He says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so the point, I think what Paul is trying to make, if he's giving you these gifts, what are we supposed to do with them? Use them? Wouldn't that be a great insight? You know, he's given us these gifts, and now he's saying, if I'm giving them to you, use them. And that's what the key practice is about. Know your spiritual gifts and use them for God's purposes. I know in our Bible class this morning, it really went over the body of Christ. And Paul does this in several places, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He really breaks it down for us, in starting with verse 14. He says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And so really what Paul is addressing here, he's addressing people or the parts of the body that might feel inferior. And he's saying, no, there's not one more that's more important than the other. You have to have them all to make up this body. And then he goes on and kind of addresses the people who might think they're a little bit superior to other people. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. How many of you have ever hurt a part of your body? You know, a finger or a hand or a foot or an ankle or whatever. Have we all done that? Probably safe to say. Do you realize when it's hurt how much it actually did for you? It's amazing, isn't it? And so I think it goes to show us, and that's what Paul is doing here, is using this very practical physical thing that we can grasp that says we've got to have every part, especially if we want it to function properly, right? And so the same is with the body of Christ, the body of believers, people, individuals. We all make up this body that we call the body of Christ. And we each one have a special purpose, a special talent that God has given us to use. And we're supposed to use it for that. And I think it shows when one part or one area is missing, or we don't have that ability, maybe it shows that we need that. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, what would happen if every single person here today, or every single person in our church, what would happen if they were excellent cooks and hated to eat? Could you imagine what our potluck meals would be like? It'd be miserable. We'd have so much food over there and no one would want to eat it. You know, what would happen if every single person knew how to teach really well? We wouldn't have anybody want to sit and listen, would we? No. I mean, what would happen if every single person here was great at fixing things and took careful, made sure that they didn't break anything? Our property trustees would be out of a job, wouldn't you? We wouldn't need their talent because everyone would be so careful that we wouldn't ever break anything. I mean, I think it goes to show you that every single person here is important to the body of Christ, whatever function, whatever role you fill. We need you. It goes back to last week, this biblical community. We need you. We need every single person hands-on doing what God has gifted them with to carry out the work of the church. The only problem is sometimes parts of the body may not do exactly what we want them to do. Have you ever done something with your hand and then your heart tells you, boy, that was wrong? Have you ever done something with your mouth or thought something and immediately said, oh, I shouldn't have said that or thought that? You see, I think that's even true within the body of believers. Is someone going to say something or do something that hurts us? Probably. Is it intentional? Maybe, maybe not. But you see, I think this is where we have a powerful moment to use that greatest gift that God has given to us. The forgiveness that He gives us, the love that He shows us. Now we're able to express that, hopefully, to those people that wrong us, so that we can continue to carry out the work of the church that God has called us to do. We talked a little bit about this in Bible class. Sometimes it's hard for people. I know it's extremely hard for me when I've taken those evaluation tests or whatever that tells you what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and then you have to even say, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? How many of you are good at that? I'm not. I'm probably harder on myself. I can probably pick out about 50 weaknesses. And so I'm going to say that a majority of the people tend to be that way. So what do we have to do to show people their strengths? If we see it being done, say, hey, that was a great job cleaning up after this chicken dinner. You know, I thought about that. That takes all types of people to do this fundraiser that the men's club just did. The ones to cook, the ones to get the wood ready, the ones that lit the fire to have the pits ready when the chickens got here, the ones that sold the chickens. I think Carlos and Trevor, they were down at the square with carrying that wood sign around their neck that said, chickens and sausage, $9. You wouldn't catch me dead doing that. But yet they were marching up and down the street, holding that sign up, chickens, come get your chickens. I'm just not that type of person, although I've said we need to get a chicken suit. I might hide in it. And I'll tell you, I'll confess something too. It literally drives me insane when I go over to the Family Life Center and the chairs that are at the tables are all different colors. And there's four of them instead of three in the slots. And the tables are not lined up on the lines with five or six blocks in between each row. That drives me crazy. But you know what I've had to do? I've had to say, that's okay, because I don't want to set all the tables and chairs up all the time. And so sometimes that's what we have to do when we're working together as the body of Christ, right? We have to give and take a little bit. We have to say that that's okay if it wasn't done exactly the way I think it should be done, just as long as it's been done for God's purposes. I'm working on the tables and chairs. I'm telling you. That's a really tough one for me. Ryan knows that. Me and him, I think, are on the same page, but nobody else is. So, and I don't know if we ever sway them all, so we might as well just forget it. But I do pray that, you know, we have an incredible thing going on here at St. John. We have a lot of people to do the work that God has called us to do. And He has certainly given each one of us a special gift, whether it's teaching, whether it's leading, whether it's organizing. That was something else I was going to say. You know, wouldn't it'd be awful if everyone was super organized and clean? Wouldn't have anything to organize or clean, would we? Yeah, I mean, so he's given all of us these special gifts. Teaching, loving, nurturing. Those that show mercy. Those that show love to people. Those who can sit with someone who's hurting. It takes every single one of these talents and gifts for us to be the body of Christ. And what's so fascinating and so cool about this is the fact that once we realize that, no one is here. No one is here. Where are we? We're all equal. And that's what God's love is about. We are equal. He loves every single one of us just the same. And now we're to express that love to the people around us. I pray that God certainly blesses us as a church as we move forward, as we reach out into the community, as we reach out into the families, that we are the body of Christ doing and fulfilling His purposes for our lives. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.